Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 18th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Then Jesus told them a parable about their need to pray always and not to lose heart. He said, "In a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor had respect for people. In that city there was a widow who kept coming to him and saying, 'Grant me justice against my opponent.' For a while he refused, but later he said to himself, 'Though I have no fear of God and no respect for anyone, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will grant her justice so that she may not wear me out by continually coming.' And the Lord said, 'Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God grant justice to his chosen ones who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long in helping them? I tell you, he will come quickly to grant justice to them. And yet, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?" The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Do I have anyone who wants to come forward for a children's chat?
Sometimes I squint as I look out my window and I pretend that bighorns are really the Blue Ridge. You have to squint, but, you know, you can pretend. And I had someone say, well, they do look a little like, you know, the Blue Ridge, but they don't have as many trees. Yeah, I'll go with that. So here, he's saying, I lift up my eyes to the mountains, and does my strength come from the mountains? And he says, no, my strength doesn't come from the mountains. As high as they are, as majestic as they are, as beautiful as they are, that is not where I really get my strength. My strength comes from God, who made heaven and earth and mountains and me and you. And that's where our strength comes from, is our God, who's made everything and is even more majestic and more wonderful than the things that have been made. So let us pray. We thank you, our good and gracious God, for the gift of mountains, for being able to live in such a beautiful place where we see the mountains every day. Help us to be reminded that you are the one who created them. You are the one who created all things. You are the one who created us. And you care for us. And you protect and guard us. And we give you thanks and praise, O Lord. Amen. Thank you for being with me.
Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of each of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Then Jesus told them a parable about their need to pray always and not to lose heart. What does it mean to not lose heart? It means to persevere, to not fall into despondency, to not give up, to endure until the end. Jesus tells them about a widow among the most disenfranchised members of society who appeals to a judge to grant her justice against those who have wronged her. The judge admits that he has no fear of God and no respect for people. The woman comes day after day after day, tirelessly pleading her case to the point where the judge states that he will grant her justice so that she will not wear him out or do him harm. Jesus says that unlike this unjust judge, God will quickly answer the petitions of those who cry out. But this statement seems to contradict our lived experience. What about those times when we pray and God does not answer our prayers? What about those times when God seems to be ignoring our heartfelt pleas? Is prayer supposed to wear down God until God gives us what we want, the way a young child will sometimes wear down a parent until the parent gives in to the child's requests? What is this parable supposed to teach us about faith, about God? Let me tell you the story of a man who persisted in prayer. In his youth, he relied upon his physical strength. He had a powerful physique developed while playing football and wrestling in high school. In college, where he continued to play football, he developed a passion for boxing, a sport in which he excelled. He won the 1985 Golden Gloves heavyweight title for the state of Montana and was runner-up the following year when he graduated from college with a degree in English literature and writing. He planned to become a prize fighter, but his career was cut short after an injury led to major reconstructive jaw surgery. He said in an interview, "All my teeth are false. They had to remove a large portion of my upper jaw and put in a bridge. I tried to fight one more time after that, and it just wasn't the same. So I had to give that up." That dream ended. He moved to Los Angeles with the thought that he would become a movie star. Doesn't everyone move to Los Angeles with the thought that they will become a movie star? He made a few commercials and had some bit parts in movies, but he eventually became disillusioned by the film industry. In order to pay the bills, he found some jobs in comedy clubs and bars, eventually taking a position with a museum in Pasadena. He told an interviewer, "I lived a very fast life. I was involved in troublemaking. I used to get in street fights a lot. I was very involved in, you know, I used to drink, and I had a lot of problems. I had several accidents, both on my motorcycle and in cars. I had some falls. I hurt myself fighting." One night as he was riding his motorcycle home, he was hit by a car, thrown off his bike, and then run over by another car. The injuries were so severe that the hospital staff thought that he would die that night. This close brush with death was a turning point in his life. The accident prompted him to explore religion more closely. He decided to become baptized and confirmed in order to marry the woman that he loved. And so he spent more than a year preparing for baptism. Not because he had any interest in God, but because he figured this was the way to win the woman. Instead of leading to marriage, baptism sent him in an entirely unexpected direction. He said, "When I was baptized, at the very moment the priest was pouring water over my head, I didn't hear the voice of God or see a big banner come down from the sky or anything. I just knew that I was going to be a priest." He added, "I didn't want to be a priest. I wanted to get married. I didn't really know what a priest did." This decision came as a shock to his parents, to his friends, to his girlfriend. There was nothing in his background that indicated any strong religious convictions that would support such a call. He tried to test the call by teaching for 3 years at a Catholic school in California, then moved to New York City to work with the Capuchin friars in some of the city's poorest neighborhoods. It took time to convince a bishop to allow him into seminary. While in seminary, he started having weakness in his legs. The strength was leaving his once powerful body. He was diagnosed with inclusion body myositis, a rare and incurable autoimmune disease that mimics the symptoms of Lou Gehrig's disease. It started to look like his dream of becoming a priest was over. Because of his disease, it was thought it might be better to ordain him as a permanent deacon instead. But he persisted in prayer. Almost 10 years after he first felt the call to ministry, he was ordained a priest at St. Helena Cathedral. By that time, he was using crutches. His condition continued to deteriorate. His first assignment was to Little Flower Parish in Browning, Montana. He lasted 6 months. After two falls, he was sent to Anaconda, where his physical challenges could be better accommodated. He served at Anaconda for a short time, not quite 2 years, but left an indelible mark on the community. He was brought home to Helena, where he took up a new life in ministry at Big Sky Care Center, this time from the seat of his power wheelchair. People flocked to see him. The line of visitors often stretched around the building. He died at the age of 50 at Big Sky Care Center, where he had lived for the last 4 years of his life. He had served as a priest for 7 years. A movie about his life was released this year at Easter time. Have you seen it? Does this sound at all familiar to you? Netflix, yes. Those of you with Netflix may have seen this. It's called Father Stu. The movie is often hard to watch. It depicts the violence of his life, the boxing, the bar fights, the horrific accident. It is salted liberally with profanity, making it unsuitable for children or for those of tender sensibilities. When asked why it was necessary to make a movie with such coarse language, the producer explained that he wanted to show the change that had occurred after Stu's conversion. One of Father Stu's friends mentioned that Stu worked really hard to clean up his own language, and he challenged other people, especially guys, to clean up their language. He had many unusual penances he would give them to help them in their use of language. I wish he'd explained what some of those were. Another friend said in a Facebook post that Father Stu actually had a swear jar in his nursing home room for his visitors to contribute when they swore, as he did not swear after his conversion. The movie shows a marked reduction in swearing following Stu's conversion experience at his baptism, though not his secession. The movie also dramatizes various events of Father Stu's life, the difficulties in being accepted into seminary, the struggles with his incurable illness and their effect on his sense of call, the decision to ordain him as a priest. How much is true and how much is Hollywood? I don't know. But I was especially affected by one scene where Stu prays in anguish, asking God, why? Why, when he hears this call, is God placing this barrier of illness in his way? Why? Why, when he is trying so hard to be good, does he feel punished? He recalls Christ's words on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? He throws down his crutches, falls to the floor, and begins to crawl to a side altar in the church, his own pilgrimage of faith. What we see in the movie is Stu's persistence, his determination to make something of his life, then to give up that life in service to God, then to use his suffering to draw closer to Christ and to encourage others to do the same. After I watched the movie for the first time, I've now seen it twice, I looked up Father Stu's obituary. He died in 2014. Some of the memories were written by people who knew him well, some added this year by people who'd not heard about him until after seeing the movie. Let me read some of them. Father Stu's faith and courage inspired us. The embodiment of hope in the face of despair, Father Stu knew suffering. He knew Jesus on the cross. Father Stu encouraged my faith and challenged me to grow into a deeper relationship with Christ. The Holy Spirit moved through him. He taught me how to turn stumbling blocks in my life into stepping stones. He always humbled me by his great humility. No matter how bad Father Stu felt, he always made you feel better. He understood life at all angles because he'd been there. Father Stu, when you look down from heaven and see me acting stupid, give me a good slap alongside the head. I know I will need it. He touched the lives of so many people, bringing hope to those who were hopeless, bringing peace to those who were troubled, faith to those who were lost, livelihood to those who were stuck, and friendship, companionship, and trust to every person he met. I had the distinct honor and privilege of caring for Father Stu at BCC shortly after he began living there. His joy, faith, humbleness, and genuine love for me and the other workers in residence left a mark on my heart for eternity. I can honestly say I encountered more of the love of Christ in him than anyone I've known since. We need this more than ever in this world today. I woke today feeling so grateful for my life and the beautiful people God has surrounded me with. I will work harder each day to do Christ's work in some small way. May we never forget that we are loved, and may we also strive to do what Jesus would do in our everyday lives. Those are just a few of the tributes to him on his obituary. His obituary states, "He brought a servant's heart to each and every minute of his ministry, his love increasing in power as physical strength declined. When he could no longer count on his physical strength, he could count on his strong faith." His obituary also states, "He taught by example, willingly accepting the pain and weakness each day brought." Stu said it was the best thing that ever happened to him because it allowed him to shed the pride he had felt for most of his life. Father Stu will be missed, but his legacy of love and selflessness lives on in the hearts and minds of all he served. what we see in the life of Father Stu, his actual life and the Hollywood version, is that God can use anyone for God's purposes. Fighters, troublemakers, alcoholics, criminals. In the movie, he is depicted as a loser, a pugilist with a criminal record and a short temper who seems unable to stay out of trouble, unable to speak without using profane and offensive language, unable to live without numbing his pain with alcohol. He is a man who has no use for God and is sure God has no use for him. He pursues religion because he hopes it will get him the girl he loves, not because of any desire for God. His story shows how God can use each of us in spite of or because of our weaknesses and brokenness. Stu was given the gift of tenacity, persisting in prayer, wrestling with everything that stood in his way to answer the call God placed in his heart on the day of his baptism. In that regard, he is like Jacob in our first reading, who wrestled in the night with an angelic being and refused to let go until he received a blessing. Jacob received more than he requested, a disjointed hip that left him with a permanent limp, a new name that gave him a new identity and new courage. Stu wrestled and received a blessing and pain and a new identity and courage. When we persist in prayer, we are the ones who are changed. Our fears, our discouragements, our woundedness, our brokenness are transformed. Stuart Long wanted to marry the girl he loved. That desire led him to a deeper love, the love of God expressed in the call to serve in ministry. That call led to a still deeper love as the suffering he endured caused him to draw closer to Christ on the cross. The love he had for God spilled out into people and places he could never have imagined. He wanted to become a movie star. And now a movie made 8 years after his death is encouraging others to draw closer to God. God wants us to be persistent. God wants us to show up day after day in prayer, wrestling with difficult issues, refusing to give up, refusing to lose heart. God wants us to pray about our fears, our hopes, our desires. As we do so, may we experience what Stu did when he realized that persistent prayer can increase faith. Jesus asked, "When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? Will he find faith that trusts, faith that wrestles, faith that fights, faith that refuses to be discouraged? Will he find such faith in us?" Amen. Let us join together in our hymn of the day.